The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number
151.
Yeah, we are.
Uh-huh.
Moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
That's as far as I go.
Right, that's as good as
yeah,
I got,
you don't want to hear any more of my singing.
Side note, and you and I have been terrible for this. If you send us messages in which we say all the time, hey, send us messages. Yeah, I hadn't checked in a while.
What?
So
you're
actually
responsible for that.
I know. We've actually had two sent to us, whymeproject@outlook.com. You ready for the first one?
Absolutely.
Guys, had a chance to share during quarantine. It's nice to hear the encouragement during times like this from Natalie.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Natalie, thanks for checking it out.
And then we also got one from Anonymous.
Okay.
That says, greetings. I'm looking for someone to split my $5.6 million, a 70-30 split. Please get back to me immediately.
Do we get the 70 or the 30?
I don't know, but it sounds legit.
Totally.
So I sent him a message back. They just needed my banking information, and that was...
Oh, easy breezy.
I was like, well, I've got that memorized. Anyways, our guest for this week is... when we get people saying, oh, you should talk to this person, or you should talk to this person, this is kind of one of those people.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people say, this will be a perfect guest for your podcast. And, you know, for me, I've got my pen and paper handy as I'm going to be taking some notes as this is right up my alley.
So, Kate Caracco, how are you?
Good, good. I am pumped to speak with you guys today.
Well, I think maybe the first thing that we should, before we dive into everything, I know that you live in the New York area. How are you guys doing with regards to everything going on?
We feel very fortunate because we're about an hour north of the city of Manhattan. So we have a backyard and we're not stuck in a high-rise building because we have two little toddlers. We have a 93-pound rescue dog. So it would definitely be a little bit more of a challenge if we couldn't get outside. So
yeah, no kidding.
It's not as bad as it could be, thankfully.
We'll continue to keep you in our prayers for sure. But we like to ask this skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. Kate, who are you and where did you come from?
I am, first, I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I have two littles. My first daughter is going to be turning 3 in a couple weeks. I have an almost 18-month-old. And I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a confidence and mindset coach for female entrepreneurs. I've also written one book, and I have a couple other books in the works right now. And yeah, I started as a therapist working in the field and decided that I really wanted to have my own business and have freedom with the business. So I opened a therapy practice and had a lot of people asking how to start a business, how to keep on going in business when it feels hard, when the challenges arise. And the second business just sort of turned into something just from nothing, just from people asking questions. So I decided, let me just start coaching people and also charging for this. So I started because I had a lot of picking brains and coffee dates and realized, you know, in order to pay the bills and keep the other business going, why not turn this into another business in itself? And I've been able to help a lot of people not give up and keep their businesses going and really learn to thrive in business through understanding themselves better, understanding their behaviors better. And it's just been such a joy and a blessing because I love getting up and doing the work that I do. And to be quite honest, it's a little hard right now, having littles home with me and not being able to work as much as I was before because I really miss it.
Are you one of the weird people who grew up, like born, raised, and grew up in New York?
Yes, I am. I grew up here. I grew up my entire life. My freshman year of college, my parents wanted me to go to a Christian school. My dad was a pastor growing up. I said, I will go to Christian school, but I will go to the one that has the least amount of rules. So, I found a university called Lee University all the way out in Tennessee and flew all the way out there, was there for not even a semester and decided this just is not for me. Like, I need to be back on the East Coast and only stay there a year. And I made my way back to New York, and I never want to leave. I just adore it here.
Growing up, was this something that you could ever have anticipated that you would have become?
No, no. My biggest goal growing up was to get married. That was like the first, to get a husband, get married. And I originally went to school for elementary education. I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. I wanted to have like 5 kids, maybe 6 kids. My life was very different. I always loved writing, and I knew that I would want to write a book someday, but I never could have imagined being an entrepreneur. Even though my parents were very entrepreneurial themselves, I just sort of wanted to take the safe route in life.
It fascinates me because you're very few and far between from people who grew up in the place and they really never left. But then the fact that, take this as nicely as possible, you're also a pastor's kid, which is, pastor's kids to me are also weird, but in many different ways. What was life like growing up being a PK?
Oh, I was definitely the one who, just trying to find a nice way to put it, I tormented my parents a little bit. We'll just say that.
Okay.
Looking back, I can say, like, Mom and Dad, you were right. You taught me the right thing. And I will now be just as strict, if not stricter, with my children as you guys were. But I, you know, every movie that I went to, my dad, you know, it was, could be a PG movie. And my dad had to go and view it first. So I just remember I was always very headstrong and always wanted to do my own thing. And it was tough when, you know, your parents were very, very strict on you. And I do think that, you know, I'm so grateful for my upbringing and for the foundation that they taught me, because, you know, even though I wasn't really listening back then, it's still stuck. And it came back to me after, you know, leaving college and really finding my way back to the church and finding my way back to my own faith. And the things that they tell me now, it's just, it's crazy that I remember and I say the same things. I catch myself saying the same things to my kids, saying the same things to my husband. I'm really grateful for my upbringing, even though I didn't really understand it when I was a kid.
You talk about that kind of coming back to your faith and kind of going through that whole experience of, you know, making your faith your own. What was it that really solidified, you know, that head knowledge to the heart knowledge of you and your relationship with God?
Yeah, I think I really needed to hit a rock bottom. And my whole life, I wasn't really aware of it, but I struggled with an eating disorder. I just thought that, you know, I wanted to be pretty and I wanted to look a certain way, but I didn't realize that it went a lot deeper than what it really was. And I had a lot of pain in high school and college. And it wasn't until I moved to Manhattan to go and get my master's in social work. I was in a classroom and the professor was talking about the DSM diagnosis for an eating disorder. And I realized, oh my goodness, I've actually had this my whole life and I need to get some help. And it was at that point when I realized and I just surrendered and I just felt God saying, like, you can't do this alone. You can find healing through therapy, but in order to fully heal and fully recover, you need my help. And I started to go and search for churches, and it was just such a beautiful thing, like finding the right church. And then just like, I can still remember like finding my best friend, who is my best friend to this day. She was my Bible study leader, and her just encouraging me and like bringing me back. And that healing process, I remember saying, like, God, if you can heal me from this, if you can help me get out of this pain and out of this misery, I promise I will use it someday for your glory. And it was sort of a half-hearted prayer. I don't know if I like really believed that I would have the courage to share about it someday, but I was in so much pain that I just wanted it to go away. And I knew that he could heal me. So yeah, it's been a long journey. And that was about almost 11 years ago, actually.
As we discuss, I mean, you talked about doing elementary education. That why was then the decision, or what was the aha moment of you becoming a therapist?
I was doing student teaching in undergrad, and I realized that what was happening in the classroom was the teachers were teaching the kids, but a lot of what the issue were with the kids was their behavior. And it was fascinating to me to see, like, wow, what the teachers are really doing with the kids is a lot more like behavior work. And I think it would be really interesting to start studying their minds and studying why they act out, why they do what they do. So I then decided to take a couple of psychology classes. I shifted my major to psychology and initially just wanted to work with kids. And actually, even after getting my master's out of grad school, I went and worked in foster care for a while. And to be quite honest, again, my big dream was to have a lot of kids and working in the foster care system and seeing the trauma and just the hardship, it really honestly took a toll on me. And I said, if I don't get out of this work, I don't think I'll ever be able to have my own kids, just because of the fear and just the anxiety it really just instilled in me. So I decided to leave the foster care field and began working with adults. And I just felt I wasn't as tied emotionally working with adults as I was with the children. And through that, you know, decided, okay, I guess I'll become a mom again. Like, I'm okay with it now. But I think I just really feel for people who are in that field because it is not easy work. It really, really takes a toll on you.
At what point did you make that shift then from focusing a bit more on the goal of being a mom to starting to really hone in on your own entrepreneurial instincts?
I had a bunch of different jobs after grad school. I wanted to really just sort of figure out what my niche would be and what I would like, whether if it was, you know, working in a hospital or an outpatient clinic. And I did both. I worked in addictions for a little bit. And I feel like the more that we sort of do self-development, the more that we become more aware of ourselves and aware of what it is that we want, I started to see that, like, what my ultimate goal is to really help people heal, like my therapist had done with me, and do that real deep one-on-one work with individuals. And I realized that working in some of the settings that I was in, it really wouldn't be possible. The only way to be able to do that deep work would be starting my own private practice or going and looking for a private practice to join, because a lot of agencies and hospitals, it's more of like very short-term work or a lot of more administrative work. So I just started to sort of look for resources to figure out how to start a business, and through that decided, why not just take some steps and set it up and see where this takes me. And I didn't imagine it to actually turn into a full-time business. I thought maybe it would be sort of a hobby on the side, but God had other plans. And I'm grateful for how fast that first business grew. And then through that and having, you know, the next business, to be quite honest, I lost my focus of wanting to have a family and really started to put all of my focus on my work success and my career success, and started to even question whether I would want to have a family someday. It was more of, I had this sort of change of heart moment and just started to ask God, like, what is it that you want for me? Do you see me as a mother? Is this something that is in my plans for the future? And after I started sort of opening up and considering maybe having a family, I didn't feel ready at that time. But I will say within about 6 weeks, I found out that we were having a family. I was pregnant. My husband and I were having our first. And it was the biggest gift that God has ever given me, just giving me that gift of motherhood. It was the best thing for me and the best thing for our family, for my relationship with my husband, for my businesses, because I think if my heart wasn't softened, I think it would have been very easy just to continue running with that success. And I think it would have been really easy to lose myself in that success and also sort of lose my relationship with God. I think that when you struggle with some type of addiction, it's very easy to always replace it with something else. And I started to notice that, you know, I see an eating disorder as an addictive type of behavior. And I think that yes, I was healed from that eating disorder, but I think that I started to put a lot of those addictive behaviors into the business and just like being so obsessed with the business, so obsessed with success, that it was no longer healthy.
You talk about these personal struggles and they're pivotal points in your life. Does having personal challenges make someone a better therapist?
I think so. I think that every single therapist, whether they want to admit it or not, they have had some type of struggle or some type of pivotal moment, whether it's a family member or a friend or something that has impacted them to open their heart up to want to not see others struggle with pain. I think that most therapists have had a lot of pain and maybe a lot of loss or a lot of trauma in their lives. And I do think that that's what makes the best therapist, is being able to understand, being able to empathize. And I sort of think it's a little bit of a shame that with the field, you're not supposed to talk about that at all. You know, as a therapist, you're really just supposed to be that steady rock that looks like they have it all put together. And I didn't realize this until I went into the field and started having conversations with other people. I always just thought, oh, therapists, like, they're just people who really have it together and have never struggled before. But that's the furthest from the truth.
You talk about fake it till you become it. Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I remember years ago seeing this TED Talk by someone named Amy Cuddy. And she talked about, you know, when you're like giving a speech and not feeling confident, like start to do these power poses and start to stand with confidence and walk around the room with confidence. And it was something that I started to practice, and it started to get me to think, wow, you know what? I think I have a choice. I think that even though I may not have the confidence to believe that I can be where I want to be someday or be that person who I really want to be, if I start to act as if I'm that person already, start to step into those shoes already, I think I might be able to get there a lot faster than sitting in a place of telling myself, like, I'm not worthy or I can't do that or it's too hard or I'm never going to get there. But if you start to really tell yourself, I am that person already. And if I do these behaviors, if I act in this certain way, I can really step into that person. What I truly believe is that that person that you envision yourself being in the future, that future version of you, is really who you already are. And it's who you already are underneath those insecurities that you have right now. So once those insecurities are gone, like, you're just stepping into that better version of yourself, who you already are. It's not like you're turning into this person that is not you, but it's just the better version of you.
Sometimes I like to wear a power bra and some power pumps. It makes me feel more confident.
And shoulder pads. Must have shoulder pads.
Yes.
I want to talk about the book, Thinking Like a Boss. It always fascinates me as to why somebody decides that they want to write a book. It's a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to go write a book, but they never get to it. Why did you decide to write it?
So I always wanted to write a book, and I will say that it was something that was always a big dream of mine, but never something that I believed that I would have the opportunity to do. And it was after having my first daughter about 3 years ago, I was feeling I was at a very low point in my life again. Biggest blessing, having this beautiful baby girl, but feeling like out of birthing and having this new gift, I also had lost everything that I already had. So I felt like I lost my business. I sort of was unsure of like who I was again. So what I started to do was just write and journal and put all of my feelings on paper. You know, I wasn't sure how to even like share this with people. I was embarrassed that I was feeling this way. And I had this opportunity where I, you know, received this email from someone that I had followed on social media. And she said, hey, I'm looking for 12 women to mentor and to help them bring their books to life. And it was called like the Book Birthing Program. And I just felt at that moment this is the worst time to start writing a book because I feel like I don't have enough time. Like, I can't even keep up in my business, and I don't have any childcare or help with the baby. But this is also the best time because there's no better time to start but today. So I just took a lot of that, those journal entries and things that I was writing about, feelings that I was having, and built that into a book proposal and just said, you know, why not just try? If I fail, I fail. But I just really felt God saying, like, this is your time to write the book. And it makes absolutely no sense at all, but just trust me. And I did. And with every step, you know, it was really difficult. And there were many times I wanted to give up, getting rejection letters from literary agents and, you know, rejection letters from publishers. But I knew that this was his plan, and I just kept going for it. And looking back, I think that when we're in it, sometimes we feel like this is taking so long. Like, when is this going to happen for me? And looking back, I'm like, oh my goodness, I was just being impatient. Like, it didn't take long at all. So I think just reminding yourself of that when you're feeling like you're in it, that someday you're going to look back and say, like, that sacrifice was not very much of my time. You know, it was just a little piece of the puzzle. So that's how I got to where I am today. And I'm, you know, I published this first book, Thinking Like a Boss. And I've actually written the second book already, which is a follow-up. And I'm in the midst of writing the third one right now as well.
So a lot of people would have already said no at this point. That's a lot on your plate. Yeah. Why do you keep saying yes? Like, do you have guidelines? Do you have kind of a process to help determine which opportunities you say yes or no to?
Yeah. So I think it's important that first we ask ourselves, what is it that we want? Like, what do I want? What do you want? Because I think it's very easy for us to make decisions based off of what we think we should do or we have to do or we need to do or what others' ideas are or ideals are for us. So it's important that first you ask yourself, what do I really want? And then go from that place. Like, do I want to say yes to this? Is this an opportunity for me? Or, and also asking yourself, like, am I saying yes to this opportunity out of scarcity? Because I'm afraid that maybe it won't come up again. And this is something that, you know, I say with all of these lies that I talk about in the book, as long as you're growing, they're going to continue to come up. And it's just a sign of growth to not take it as you're doing something wrong or, gosh, I thought I was over that and it keeps coming back up. But just take it as growth. You know, when you're growing, you're going to be challenged with these things again. So, you know, what may be aligned for you today may not be aligned for you tomorrow. So really just asking yourself in opportunities, what do I really want to say yes to? And am I doing this out of a place of scarcity or because I think I need to or I have to or I should or because of what I think other people want for me? And, you know, if you can show up as the best version of yourself and really just do what is aligned for you, you're going to succeed in everything. And, you know, you're not going to feel resentful in your relationship. So I think it's important that we're really good and we're firm with saying no in certain areas. And we're also firm with saying yes for the things that we really want to work towards.
Is this just for women? Is this book strictly from, or can, as a guy, can I get something out of it as well?
Yes, 100%. I do say the word ladies a few times, but I've had many men read the book and feel like they've gotten a lot out of it. And I think it's also, you know, it was a book that was written for entrepreneurs, but I've had many people who are not entrepreneurs who have read it and said, like, wow, this changed my life. So what I love about being able to speak to a niche is that you can really sort of like get into their head. Like, a lot of the female entrepreneurs who have read this have said, I feel like it's really scary. Like, you're in my head right now. Like, you're saying everything that I think, like my deepest, darkest secrets I've never told anyone. Like, I feel like you know them. So that's the beauty of like speaking to your niche, is that you're really going to get those people. But then there are also people who are going to resonate because, you know, maybe they have someone in their life, like a loved one who is an entrepreneur, or a loved one who's a female, or, you know, maybe they just need this truth in these different areas in their life of, you know, believing that there's enough time for the things that matter most, or believing that they're ready enough to get started. So I do think the book is actually for everyone.
Thinking, you know, back throughout your life, this is the Why Me Project podcast. So were there any Why Me moments that really do stand out for you?
I'm going to look at this in a different way. The Why Me moment would be God believing that I was qualified enough to be a mama, because motherhood was not something that I chose. It was a beautiful gift that was given to me. And I look at my girls right now and I'm like, God, why me? Like, why did you decide to bless me with these two beautiful human beings and make me their mom? And, you know, I feel like such an imperfect person, and that you would trust me to be able to lead these little girls. Yeah. So that's my why me moment.
Thinking Like a Boss, the book is available now. You can jump online to katecrocco.com, C-R-O-C-C-O, or at Kate Crocco on Insta. We appreciate you taking a minute. Make sure that you and your family stay safe, and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
What I appreciate the most when we're given an opportunity to talk to someone is that they're willing to be real about real struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And an eating disorder, even though I don't know much about it, I still know that there are people who are struggling with that. And to see Kate's perspective on that, I think, is really eye-opening.
Yeah, and I never thought about how something like an eating disorder can translate into other areas of your life.
Sure.
And I guess that is really, it rings true for so many different things that we struggle with.
And again, in times like these, when we're sitting in our own thoughts, when we're quarantined, when we're social and self-isolating, this is probably some of the worst times for us, but yet it's a time that we need to reach out and talk to somebody professionally, like someone like Kate.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if something really inspired you, maybe there's someone that you know would really benefit from hearing Kate's story, make sure you download, you subscribe, you send them the information, because you can find us wherever you get your podcasts or at faithstrongtoday.com.